Hello, and welcome to A Writer's Journey. I'm Sarah Whitford, author of the Adam Fletcher Adventure Series, and with me, as always, is my co-host and fellow author, Terrence Zepke.
Hello.
Yes. So we decided to do a special episode today. We wanted to talk about something that we now have a bulk of experience with. She's had experience with this for a long time. For me, you know, I've only been at this a couple of years now, and that's writing a series and all of the different aspects of writing a series. So, Terrence, you know, of course, I'm writing fiction, but you have written many nonfiction series. How about if you just start us off?
Okay. You know, first I want to say, sir, it's really interesting because back when I started, way back when I started, which is hard to believe how long ago it was, considering I'm only 29.
Oh, my gosh.
A child prodigy, right?
Right,
okay.
Right.
All right. So, well, then things changed, and publishers wouldn't touch series. They were huge. I mean, that's all anybody wrote. And then the industry shifted, and the publishers only wanted standalone titles. And so that was how things were then. And then the series came out about a boy named Harry and a school called Hogwarts.
Yes, yes.
Yes, and ever since Harry Potter was released, series have just continued to be hugely popular. But I think there are six things that you need to know about writing a book series, and I'm pretty sure you'll agree with this. So the first thing I would say is to map it out. You need to know how your story is going to begin and end, and have some idea of how it's going to flow. Don't you agree? You know, right at the very beginning, before you release that first book.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And in fact, the Adam Fletcher series was not, you know, when I first started working on mapping out the Smuggler's Gambit, I didn't initially know I was going to be writing a series. I thought, I'm going to tackle writing a historical fiction novel. And it didn't even occur to me initially that I was going to be writing a series until I was doing my whole little index cards, sort of mapping out my story thing. And I ended up realizing I had so much there that it had to be a series because I had so many things I wanted to happen to the character and in his life and in the lives of other characters that I had dreamed up. There's no way I would be able to accomplish all of that in one book. And so I definitely had that character arc from the very beginning.
And I think that's important that you have to spend a lot of time up front so that you it's going to make sense later because you have to think about, like, I know we're going to talk about Adam Fletcher series in another podcast, but I know that you had some idea how he was going to grow and mature during that series. And that's, you know, that's the whole thing. You have to decide how much time is going to lapse. What's going to happen with your characters as far as they're growing up or dying or adding new characters or even just changing relationships between characters, you know? And I'm thinking you should have some idea of what the big reveal is going to be in each book.
Oh, yes.
You
definitely.
Know, if it's a mystery, what your mystery is going to be, you know, if it's, you know, a book like yours, how, you know, what's going to be the storyline, you know, what's going to keep it going, you know, how many books is it going to take to wrap up your storyline?
Everybody asks me that, Terrence, and I, you know, I tell them I don't know how many books are going to be in the series. I know, you know, where I want things to end up, and I have an idea of approximately about where I would like to take things, but the main thing is I just need to accomplish certain things in the life of this character. And so it's going to, in my case, it's going to be one of those things where it'll be as many as it needs to be for me to get the story out.
And that's okay because you'll know when it's time and you've got some idea of what you want because you've got a formula for each one of your books there. And you can tell that pretty immediately when you read your first book there and all. Even though some things are changing, you're introducing new characters, things are changing, relationships are changing between characters as they're evolving. And circumstances are changing. But anyway, that brings us to number two. Let's just jump on here. Realizing the possibilities. Because the thing with the series is there really is no norm. Different series work different ways. And I was trying to think about this as we were prepping for the podcast. You know, like Harlan Coben, best-selling author, has the Myler Bolitar series. And each book builds on the previous book, but they're really standalone. You know what I mean? They don't have to be read in order like some books. Alexander McCall Smith's Ladies Number One Detective series, it does build. And you absolutely have to read those in order, I believe, you know, for them to make sense, if you'd understand The dynamics and all that. But there's all sorts of ways you can go about a series. Another clever idea, I think, Sue Grafton has created a mystery series around a 30-something detective named Kinsey Millhone. And each book begins with a different letter of the alphabet. You know, like A equals alibi, mm-hmm, and so on. Mm-hmm. So, and then Janet Ivanovich has done the same thing with her Stephanie Plum series, using numbers instead of letters. Like some of her books, Four to Score, Hi-Fi, Hot Six. I mean, you get the idea. Mm-hmm. And then there's a cat series by Lillian Jackson Braun. And she has a formula, the cat who did, you know, whatever. The cat who, you know, dropped the bombshell. The cat who, you know, ate the cheese, whatever. So there are so many possibilities of where you can go and what you can do with your series. But again, this just comes back to mapping it out. It requires so much, I think, initial preparation. You have to put the time and attention in on the front end, because once you go down a certain path, you kind of have to stay on that path. Don't you think, Sarah?
You do. And that's one of the things, you know, I know at some point in this list, I guess, hopefully we'll be talking about the pros and cons of series writing. And right, definitely one of the things that can be tricky about writing a series is sometimes you are itching to do something different, but you might feel compelled to, you know, finish working on one before dividing your attention on another. And I know that's definitely something I've thought about. I absolutely love my characters, but then I also have all these other ideas in mind, and it's like, no, I need to just plow through and you know, do this series before starting on a different one.
Yeah, because if you get another idea, you can do a different series. But once you come up with a formula, once you come up with a plan, you know, there's a certain thing that readers are expecting when they pick up your book, mm-hmm, when you're writing a series. So if you go rogue partway in, your readers are going to be baffled and probably going to call you on it.
And it takes a while to build that audience of readers, you know, and to have those people who are just anxiously awaiting the next installment. And so once you have that, you don't want to take that for granted.
Right. Those are loyal readers, and they have a certain thing that they're expecting from your Adam Fletcher series. Mm-hmm. So they don't want you to suddenly introduce, for instance, yours are pretty, what do they say, PG rated.
Yes.
So you don't.
My books will always be PG rated, Terrence. I'll never write books that aren't PG rated.
I know that, but I'm just saying, for an example to people, you wouldn't suddenly in book four want to go rogue and suddenly have an R rating.
Oh yes, definitely.
Kind of text, because then your readers are going to be like, "What?
Yeah. What? Oh yeah. That's
this
true.
Isn't what I was expecting. This isn't what I want. I'm. You know. So you do once you come up with a plan, you kind of have to go with it. And if you find you're drying up or it's not working for you or you're bored with it or whatever, wrap up the series, you know, but don't go crazy and mess with the formula that you've created there. Mm-hmm. And so talking to that, number three on my list here of what you need to know and think about when writing a book series is keeping track of everything. Decide how you're going to keep track of all of your information.
This is such a great one. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm just jumping right in because I'm so excited about this one.
I know because I'm getting ready to turn it over to you, because this is where Sarah shines. When you're writing a book, it's really important to keep up with everything, but especially true in a series, because you want to be consistent. You know, you don't want to say these things about a character and then later on you say something else about his background or, you know, where he lives or whatever else. So how you take, and it's also going to make your job a lot easier. So you have to decide, and there's a lot of different ways. You can use index cards. You can use specialty software like Scrivener. And I know we talked all about this in season one of our podcast, and I also address it in my book, Stop Talking, Start Writing Your Book. But I'm going to let Sarah spend a little time talking about how she handles writing the series for Adam Fletcher. How do you keep track of your stuff?
Well, it helps that, you know, it's not, I probably don't do things in the best way. So I'm not saying my way is the only way. Scrivener, for instance, does have this wonderful section where you can do character cards for each of your characters and fill out, you know, all these basic things like how the character looks and certain personality traits. You can even import pictures. For instance, if there's a celebrity that you might be thinking of that would sort of look like your character if that character were cast in a movie, then, you know, you could do all of that. I don't do that in Scrivener. I do always write little cards in each book in Scrivener to introduce new characters, just so that I can have a note to myself as I'm in the planning stages of, okay, what new characters are going to be introduced? What are their relationships to each other? What are there some personality quirks? For instance, does someone speak with a certain accent? Does someone, you know, seem to have a particular temperament, you know, something that really stands out in some way? But one thing that actually helped me, and this has been a learning as I go thing, after my first book was copy edited by my fabulous, wonderful copy editor, Marcus Trower in England, who I cannot say enough good things about. He sent me not only my copy edited manuscript for us to go back and forth on a few more times, but he also sent me a style list for my book. And that had a list of all of the characters in the book, as well as any place names and any colloquial words that are used in the series that maybe don't fit in, you know, in the Chicago Manual of Style, or, you know, that aren't spelled that way in the dictionary, but they're definitely regional, you know, ways of saying things. And then for each book in the series since then, he's added on to that style list. So I can then, you know, I can then, and I have been able to go then from that list and, you know, just make notes for each character about certain things, just to make sure that I'm staying true to that character. You know, for instance, Martin Smith in my book series, he always drops his G's. I imagine him talking a lot like Matthew McConaughey. I mean, that's just the first person who comes to mind, but he drops his, I mean, real laid back, just Southern charming as all get out. You know what I mean? But he always drops his G's. And occasionally when Marcus is copy editing, he'll catch where I have put a G on, you know, a verb. And so he'll say, shouldn't you drop the G here? You know, and of course I know that, but that also helps him to keep up with, you know, what certain characters are supposed to sound like. And there was actually an instance in the most recent book that I wrote, The Gypsy's Curse, in which I used just an interjection where that Adam says, and he says, I don't recall Adam ever using this before. And I'm, you know, I was thinking, well, he hasn't, but I guess the point being, you know, this seems out of character for him. And so if it seemed out of character for him to Marcus, I think that was a worthwhile comment. But just keeping track also of backstory. I have tons of backstory written, you know, that I can go back to and make sure that if I'm referring to any backstory, I've got all of that organized in notes. And so you just have to find a method, but you definitely need to catalog your characters in a way that you can go back and easily look at who they are, look at key turning points in their life, you know, key descriptors of how they look, how they speak, their personality. You know, if you have one character who almost never speaks, you need to make sure you keep that consistent and don't all of a sudden make him a chatterbox. So things like that.
Okay. Now, like I said, Sarah, I can't recall. Maybe you can. That was one of the earliest episodes we did, was about methods of tracking your stuff. So maybe the second or third episode, I'm thinking. We talked about the Trello and index cards and Scrivener, and, you know, I think there was 9 methods.
We have so many episodes. People should just go back and just go through all the past episodes, which they can either find on iTunes or on either of our websites, which I will name at the end of the show. Okay. Yes, we have a whole ton of episodes, and yeah.
So if you want more in depth information, yep, about how to keep track of that, we do have that for you.
Yep.
But okay, so moving on, Sarah, number 4 on my list was about your name. Should you use your own name or a pseudonym when you're writing a book series? And a lot of people like to separate. I actually write fiction under a pen name because I'm trying to keep that identity separate, because, like Sarah said, I write a lot of nonfiction, and I don't want that, you know, crossover, anything that just, I just feel like that might somehow encroach on my identity, my brand, mm-hmm, my author brand, for Terrence Talks Travel. And also I just try to keep that separate. So that's something, and I know a lot of well-known authors, even like Danielle Steele and several other people, have pen names for certain series they write that are just, completely different from the normal series they write. So they try to create a different identity. And I know that, J.K. Rowling did that after the Harry Potter series, because she didn't want anybody to associate her with that new series, because she was trying to see how that series was going to do on its own without her name attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all kinds of reasons why And so that's just something to think about. I know Sarah, in Sarah's mind, she's like, why would you ever use anybody's name but your own?
No, I totally understand that. In fact, I've thought about that for, like, you know, when I finish the Adam Fletcher series and I start writing another series. I've said many times that I suspect the next series that I write will probably take place in the 1980s. And so it's like a completely different time period. And so if people who have fallen in love with my books have done so because they love the historical aspect, they might not be a huge fan of a series written in the 1980s. I've decided, though, I think I'm going to stay with my name, only because I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of confusion there between historical fiction. People will be able to spot right away, okay, this, you know, but they'll know that there are certain things about me that they can rely on, which, like you pointed out earlier, PG books and stuff like that.
Yeah. And a lot of authors do, you know, like Alexander McCall Smith. I think he is so prolific. He's one of my favorite authors. And I think he writes maybe 8 different series, fiction series. Mm-hmm. And he uses his name for all of those. So right away, but, you know, when I see his name, I also know it's going to be a book I probably want to read no matter what series. Mm-hmm. Now, there are a couple of his series I'm not as gung-ho about, but I'm more willing to try them because his name's attached. And
you
know
what
work.
I think of is how hard, I mean, I, in your case, with especially with you and your vast catalog, people, she has like 3,000 books that she's written. But, okay, well, almost.
I wish.
So you have this vast catalog and you have all these nonfiction books that you've written. And so, I totally understand you writing fiction under a different name. It makes so much sense for you. But I think as a fiction writer, especially as an independent fiction writer, you know, who's not going under a traditional traditional publisher flag, it's hard to build that audience. And so it's kind of like to think of starting from scratch again with a new pen name. It's just,
well, that is something to think about. Absolutely. A couple of things that come to my mind of times when you would probably want to, when you're writing certain kinds of romance or erotica.
Yeah, which I wouldn't be doing anyway.
I'm not sure how many of those authors' names are their real names.
Right.
So
I see a number on K-Boards that, you know, K-Boards, which is a fabulous resource. If you're not using it, you should be, people. But, you know, I know that there are a number of romance and erotica writers on K-Boards, and they'll frequently say that they use a pen name just for the sake of not, I guess, you know, well, for obvious reasons. So
Yeah. And I promise you, my other writing, my fiction's not erotica.
Right. I know. We know.
Sarah knows that. She knows my name.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, that's just something to think about as you move forward, because once you put your name on the series, again, that's it. So you've got to stick with that. So you think about that on the front end. And so along those lines is 5 on my list. Be consistent with your book covers and titles.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah will run away with this, so I'm just going to say something really quick before she takes over, because this is a peeve of hers, I'm sure, as a designer. Sarah's very tuned in about appearance and stuff. So you always want your book covers to look professional. Now, I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is you want readers to know almost instantly that this is a series. This is the same series that you know, you want it to be recognizable and consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know Sarah, after she did her first book, I think when your second book came out, you went in and redid your covers that they would all have a uniform appearance, so people could recognize this wasn't absolutely, almost immediately, this was Adam Fletcher series.
Right. And the way it worked is I got my first book, Bub, back in February. I was so happy that I had this because, you know, if you've been following the writing game for long, you know that that's like the king of all promotions that you can possibly do for ebooks. And so I had a book club coming up. I went on K-Boards and I asked if anyone had any tips for what they think I might, you know, want to consider doing to make sure I've got all my ducks in a row. And a couple of really helpful writers said, looking at your covers, it doesn't seem apparent that they are a series. And I thought, well, sure they do. You know, it's using the same font, right? I'm thinking the fonts are this. I'm using the same fonts. I'm sort of using the same photo technique as far as the little aging of the images on the cover. And so I thought, sure they look like a series. But then, you know, I just took a step back and took an honest look at it and realized, you know what? If you're looking at those little thumbnails on Amazon or, you know, Nook or
because Barabont will be shrunk down.
That's right. So they're not inspecting the fonts. They're looking at the overall cover. And so there needs to be something more than just the font. And so I ended up, yes, totally repackaging. It was between book three was getting ready to go on pre-order. So it was on pre-order when I had my book club. And so, yes, I redid all the covers. And you know what? I may do it again because, you know, another thing is we like to keep, you know, keep things sort of fresh. That's not to say we don't want people to, you know, just have something.
You're fading out a little bit on this, Sarah.
That's not to say that we don't want people to, you know, have a look that they love and something that's easily identifiable as their brand. But like you mentioned Harry Potter series a few times now. How many times have those covers have been redone and repackaged in different ways, even like adult covers, you know, versus kids? Like, in other words, ones that are marketed more to the adult readers that also love the Harry Potter books. And so, you know, but definitely something really easily, you know, easily recognizable so that when people see your books, they'll recognize right away, oh, this is part of that series, even if they don't see it, them lined up beside each other.
Yeah. And so for my Terrence Talks travel books, it's on the top. It's the first thing you're going to see on every cover.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is part of the Terrence Talks travel series. And for you, I think one of the first things you see is Adam Fletcher,
yep.
Adventure series.
Yeah, it's got that at the top and but yep. Then I also have...
Now, on that first book, when you had Smuggler's Gambit, it wasn't on there then, was it?
The Adam Fletcher Adventure series was not on the cover of the first one.
So you redid, yeah.
Yep.
And then that cinched it. Then you know what you've got then.
Yep. Yep.
So that's... And along those lines, just real quick before we move on and wrap up, the interior... That mm-hmm. needs to be consistent with your font style, mm-hmm. layout, formatting, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So you should have a template that you've created if you're in the publishing, or of course your publisher will do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a traditional publisher, you don't have to worry about that kind of thing. But that's definitely something that you want your interior. You want to be just as concerned with the interior of your book when people open it up that it looks consistent.
Yep. And I use I use InDesign. And so I definitely have a certain set of styles, paragraph styles and font styles that I use and that I import from. My dogs are going to bark in a second because the delivery man just delivered something. There we go.
There we go.
On cue, I saw him walking towards the house. See, you all get to hear my little dogs. They're done. They're done. I don't need to do it anymore. Okay.
They're adorable.
Yeah. But yeah, so I have those styles and I can just, it's just so easy because I reuse them in book after book. I reuse the same template for the copyright page and, you know, the acknowledgments and all of that. And so I'm same thing with ebook.
Not only does it keep consistency for your readers, but it makes things so much easier for you.
And they look better. So, they just look nice that way.
Yeah. So be sure to think about the exterior and interior as you're doing your series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last but not least, I think it's worth raising the question, Sarah, should you even write a series? You know, and this is where I think you have to start thinking about how much do you have to say? You know, how are you envisioning your story? Maybe when you get into it, you've said everything that needs to be said. You've covered everything that needs to be covered in one book. You know,
mm-hmm.
that could be. So you need to make sure you have a good vision and enough material to go on and on where people want to pick up the next book of yours. And they're not thinking this is just because, you know, somehow it's like TV shows. They go on too long.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they have some success. And so, they don't want to let the show go. And so they try to get another season or another season out of it. And you're thinking this show should just die a quiet death.
Yep.
And sometimes that's true with a book. Sometimes it's just not a series that just isn't there, or it should be a short series or something.
Or sometimes a book really should just stand alone. I mean, I'm thinking back to classic literature, but can you imagine, you know, if some of Charles Dickens' novels or Jane Austen's novels were turned into series? I mean, they hold a certain value to the reader today because of the world that she creates in one book, or the world he creates in one book, and the story that they're able to tell. And they might take place in the same period of time, but it's not a series. So sometimes you just have a story to tell in a novel, and that there's nothing wrong with that. But there are definitely advantages to writing a series if you're looking at making this into a career.
Right. And just because you wrote one series doesn't mean everything has to be a series.
That's right.
You can also write standalone books, mm-hmm. you know. I've done that too. And so I'm coming back. I don't know why my mind just flashed to something that Sarah has probably never seen, but the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I saw it in high school. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you know this, but I mean, having seen the movie, I think you can agree with me that that's probably pretty much where it should begin and end.
Yes.
And now somebody, and I want to say Fox, but it's probably not, somebody else is going to do a TV show based on Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Of course, and I'm thinking, are. They
what
have
a
no
terrible,
creativity.
Terrible idea.
They have no creativity anymore. They have to recycle ideas and tap
do.
Into the
and
success of
this...
things from a long time ago because people just aren't coming up with fresh ideas anymore. I mean, well, some people are, but not like they used to.
Well, the point to this, though, was I can't picture, I think you would be totally corrupting the concept of Rocky Horror Picture Show to try to stretch it into a series. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't see how it's going to work. I think it's going to not work. I think it's going to be a disaster. And so sometimes you have to just, and it's really hard, I think, for writers because we're so emotionally attached to every project we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like having a baby. It's the current, you know, and so you just get all wrapped up with it and all that. And so sometimes you have tunnel vision.
Oh, yeah.
So this is where maybe having some, you know, friends or family or beta readers or book club or something to look at your work and say, I like it, but I don't think it's a series. I don't see it that way or something. And maybe get some other opinions to help you with that. But that's my thing is just stop and take a beat and say, hey, wait a minute. Is this even, you know, merit being a series? Or, you know, am I just trying to do too much with this? You know, this idea of this book. So that's what I have to say on the subject of writing a book series.
My main thoughts on whether or not you should write a book series. Again, I just reiterate, sometimes I think a writer just knows that what they're thinking of is a standalone novel and that's where, you know, where it should be and they can leave it there. And at some point they might decide to turn it into a series. And I think that they and their readers know whether or not that's something they want to do. But there are the definite distinct advantages of having a series come in my view, in the fact that it does give, there's a few definite pros. One is that it gives both you and the readers a chance to really get to know your characters and to fall in love with your characters. And, you know, people are, you know, anxious to find out what's going to happen with them next. And that's a special thing in and of itself. You know, so many people have read, obviously, the Harry Potter series and love those characters. And there's been, you know, there's tons of fan fiction that's happened as a result of that. And obviously that series, you know, I can't imagine at the time when that's just not going to continue, just raking in piles of money in every
way. And now we have
everywhere.
The first child. We've
yes.
continued the series.
Yeah. And so, you know, so that's one thing. Another thing, though, is when you have a series, there are, you know, even if you have a series that ideally should be read in order, it still has many opportunities for someone to jump in on your series. I will tell you that with The Gypsy's Curse that just came out, you know, a couple weeks ago, I'm getting new readers just from that book. There are people who are now reading through the series because they want to read that book, or they might be reading that book. If they read that book and they've not been reading the series, they're going to get some spoilers, which is going to be sad, but I'm still thrilled they're reading the books, and I think that they must be enjoying them. But, you know, with each new book, you have an opportunity to grab new readers. Someone might not care about the cover of your first book. They might not care about the title of your second book, but something about that third book or fourth book or even fifth book or so on catches their attention. And they're like, that sounds really interesting. I want to read that. And so then they do, and they like your characters and they like your writing style. So then they go back and read other ones. And of course, another is the marketing aspect, because when you have a series, especially when it comes to the ebooks, you can do promotions where you can give away one of your books, you know, in your series, and do promotions where you have like a free day or a free week, or put maybe the first book in the series perma free, and then make that available so that people can just read that and then read, they'll read through the series, hopefully. And so, I mean, you just have so many promotional opportunities with a series that you don't have with the standalones in quite the same way, which I think is a huge plus.
Okay. All right. So here's what I have to say. Coming up in this on these specials, I want now. Sarah doesn't know this, but I plan to do a podcast on 10 things I want Sarah to tell me about the Adam Fletcher series.
Oh, okay.
And so if she doesn't agree to this, then you won't hear anything about this again.
Of course, I'll agree to it. I'm always happy to talk about my Adam Fletcher.
Yeah, I'm going to interview Sarah in that episode about this series. So I've got some things, and she's not going to know the questions till I do the interview. So she won't be able to prep for them, but okay. That's all right. She knows the answers. And we're also going to have one coming up here about our favorite book promotion strategies. Mm-hmm. And that will include BookBub and giveaways and so forth. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of information coming up here soon. But I'm assuming Sarah's going to remind you all before we close about earlier episodes in season 1 and 2. And also about being able to sign up for our newsletters and learn more about our book series at our sites.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure she's going to give all that. But I did want to let you know, because Sarah may not, she did mention that she's just released The Gypsy's Curse, which is the fourth book in her Adam Fletcher adventure series, which I haven't even read yet. It's so new. But I love the titles Sarah gives her book. But that's something we can talk about in another episode about titling your book, because that's so important. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that you need to get hold of that if you're interested. And I've also released a new book. Actually, I'm real excited. We did some box sets for my series.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, we have the Most Haunted box set and the Spookiest box set, and getting ready to release the box set for the
Stop
Writing
Talking
books.
Yeah, the Stop Talking, Start Writing books, which is writing, marketing, and writing, publishing, and marketing your books. It's all the basics that you need to know.
And I have to tell you, I was looking over those files as we were getting ready to digitalize them and all, and I was kind of looking over them, and I'm not, it's tooting my horn, there's no way around it, I have to say, but I was looking at them, I'm thinking, dang, these are good books. I'm still, because you know, sometimes you go back and read some of your stuff and like, I wish I'd done this differently or whatever, but these books, I was like, this really covers it. I feel like I've really hit it, because the writing book tells you everything you need to know to get from your idea to the end, through the rough draft. And then it tells you how to publish and then how to sell it, because mm-hmm. most importantly is doing something with your book once you're done.
That's right.
So if you want to get all three in one, we are in late October releasing the box set for the writing books. And mm-hmm. so there'll be more about that later. But anyway, I'm going to let Sarah close out the show.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this special episode of A Writer's Journey. I hope you all enjoyed it. And like Terrence mentioned, you can definitely find our whole catalog of shows either on iTunes, just search for A Writer's Journey, or you can go visit Terrence's website, which is terrencezepke.com. That's terrencezepke.com. Or if you're interested in, you know, satisfying your wanderlust, she also has a website, terrencetalkstravel.com. And then you can subscribe to her newsletters at either of those sites, both of those sites, in fact. And then I have, my author site is sarahwhitford.com. That's sarahwhitford.com. And you can visit those sites, dig into our archives. We have articles there written about all kinds of things, as well as podcast episodes. And we hope you'll check it out. And we also hope that you'll join us again next time. Thank you.